And speaking of frustration, 2020 is a big election year.
Oh, really?
We've got a big presidential primary coming up here in Washington for the first time in a long time. It'll actually be relevant for the big national race in selecting a Democratic candidate. And so joining us on Kiowa Radio today is Secretary of State Kim Wyman. Kim, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Oh, thanks for joining us today. So this new primary that's coming up in a couple weeks, what's the big news about that?
I think the biggest news is for the first time in our state's history, both parties are going to be using the results of the primary to allocate their delegates to their national conventions. And the Democratic Party has never used the results ever, and the Republican Party just started using the results fully in 2016. So I'm very excited.
So we're not going to pull in Iowa?
No, we are not going to pull in Iowa. That is the goal.
Oh, my gosh. When you were watching that, I'm sure you were thinking, thank goodness that is not us. But
that was absolutely the first thing I thought in watching the returns. And remember, the Iowa caucuses are a process that is controlled by the party. So the Republican Party and the Democratic Party in Iowa control those. It's not an actual election that's conducted by election officials. And that's the first thing I thought of, is how do we message that and let our voters know that what we do here is very different.
Yeah. And just to be clear, too, with the changes in our presidential primary, in essence, it's the first time we are nationally relevant.
It is. I think that it seems like one of the earlier ones we moved up into February or March and we were more relevant. But this time, yes, the fact that it's going to happen right after Super Tuesday is just great for Washington voters. And what it looks like is there's still going to be a lot of that race in play, and our votes are going to matter.
I think the local media is excited because it means Michael Bloomberg will be buying advertisements on local TV and radio stations. Do we know if there's more candidates who are planning to be here and campaigning in Washington State than we would have seen, say, 4 years ago when the primary wasn't until May?
You know, I am really optimistic that that's going to happen, mostly because of the logistics with Super Tuesday. Many of them will end up in California, I imagine, and then it's just a nice, easy hop, skip, and a jump up here. We do know that Michael Bloomberg has, I think, 10 field offices that he's setting up, so I know at least one candidate is going to have a big presence. But, yeah, I think we're going to see candidates actually campaign here.
And those ballots should be reaching people's mailboxes pretty soon, right?
They're going to be coming. I mean, this is the first time we have had three overlapping elections in the spring in many years, but I'm looking up the date. Ballots will start hitting households the last week of February, about the 26th, 27th.
Okay. I also wanted to ask you about this smartphone vote that's been going on in the King Conservation District and what your feelings are about that.
Well, you know, I'm starting to feel like I'm the old guy yelling at the kids to get off his lawn, because this is an issue that I've been, you know, studying and thinking about since 2000 when Gore v. Bush happened and there was a lot of move to internet voting. The problem with any of these systems is how do we message it to voters in a way that they have confidence? And the academic community and the cyber community have really serious, valid concerns and questions that they raise. And, you know, the vendor community rails against that. And some of my counties are railing against that idea. And they think that we should be looking towards innovation. But at the end of the day, our job is to instill confidence. And it's hard to defend those systems.
Do you think there'll be some kind of a hybrid at some point where there will still be paper ballots, but then there'll be some way to also vote by smartphone or something where there's sort of a kind of a fail-safe?
You know, I like to think so. We have been using a fail-safe system with email and fax ballots since about 2011 for our military overseas voters. And in fact, that's something I'm trying to get rolled back in statute this year, because we can't guarantee the safety of the transmission of the ballot itself, and we can't guarantee that people won't get into our system and wreak havoc with it with malware or something. So, and that's unfortunately turning into more of a political fight than one on cybersecurity in the legislature.
Kim, when it comes to our presidential primary, what are you hoping or expecting turnout to be?
Oh, boy, I think we're going to see on the Democratic side really robust turnout, certainly if they don't have a nominee by then. So I'm hoping we're in the, you know, 40-50% range at least, but we'll see.
One of the things that we've talked about on the show is the idea of making election days a national holiday where people... The state of Washington has done so many things already to try to make it easier for people to vote. Do you think we need to make it a national holiday?
Well, you know, I mean, look at what happens with our national holidays now. The people that actually end up having to work are the people that work hourly jobs in, you know, all of the retail stores, and the people that have the day off are, you know, government workers and people that are in full-time jobs. And so I'm not sure it really gets to that day where everybody's going to be free to go to the polls. And in our state, as you just mentioned, we have an 18-day voting window. So, and same-day registration and automatic registration. So
and
we have a lot of
prepaid postage.
Yeah, and prepaid postage. So, you know, I can't think of any more barriers we have in Washington State to remove. I think it's more about education and getting information to voters so that they can make informed choices and know when the voting period is.
So we're not making mandatory voting anytime soon, then?
I don't think we're going to see that anytime soon.
You know, I did want to talk to you about this threatened closure of the National Archives here in Seattle. That's been a story we've been following really closely since Cairo Radio broke the news back in the middle of January. What's your office doing in response to that action by the federal government?
Well, right now what we're doing is just working with, you know, all of our partners, certainly our members of Congress, and Representative Lekanoff has reached out to my office to see if there's something we could do, and certainly the tribal communities across the state all have a stake and an interest in keeping those records here. So we're gonna try to work with the National Archives and the Office of Management Budget and, you know, ultimately the administration to get them to reconsider and see if there are other alternatives for a location for those records.
Do you guys work at all with the Attorney General in terms of his potential legal action?
He hasn't reached out to us yet, but my state archivist happens to be a lawyer on the side, and if you will, and he's looked over it, and he's a little concerned because the way that the rules are around the OMB process, there really isn't an appeal process or a litigation process that he can find, but we're not lawyers in the Secretary of State's office, so I'm happy that Attorney General Ferguson is working on that and looking at the legal ramifications as well, but, you know, we're going to try to work with our partners here in the state to try to see if we can come up with an alternative.
Thank you. That is Secretary of State Kim Wyman. Thank you for joining the G and Ursula show. And coming up next, we're going to talk about why people are singing to save trees.